Very good to see everybody present with us this morning. We have folks we have not seen in a while, and so good to have you back and able to be meeting with us. And it's a wonderful thing that we come together on the Lord's Day. We understand that that is what the engagement was in the public assembly when we look back in Acts the 2nd chapter, verse 42, and they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in the fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in the prayers. And that's what we're engaged in here this morning. It's the example that was set forth for us. It wasn't something that they did because it just naturally came to them. There was instruction in connection with it. That's the reason for the statement there at the first of Acts, the second chapter. They continued in the apostles' doctrine. They were taught that from God. And we're here this morning engaged in that. Engaged in an assembly that's not about what I think, about what you think, but rather about what God would have us to do. And how wonderful it is that we have that direction, that we have that instruction from God so that there can be fellowship, not only with one another, but also with Him. And in the reading that we had by Wayman this morning from 1 John, the first chapter, you look at that, and I'll bring a lesson on just that particular aspect of it at some point in time, but you see the contingency of fellowship that is named throughout that chapter. We have the box, of course, in the back, and a question was asked by one of the members concerning fellowship. And the question was, is there any reason to use the word fellowship in a non-scriptural sense? And he showed me a posting that he had by a member of the church, a congregation, Church of Christ, where it was posted on there, "Come join us for fun, food, and fellowship." And we see that used quite often, most often among those that are not Christians, but we see that particular thought used. And you know, words, they have meaning. And many times words are taken out of context, but they do have meaning, and we can also say things the way that we want them to be said, with welcoming and so forth, and still be scripturally correct. So instead of "come join us for fun, food, and fellowship" in a purely social gathering, "come join us for fun, food, and enjoying one another's company." It could have been said that way. We're going to look at fellowship and how it's mentioned in the Bible, because it's a word that is used out of context quite often. And so we're going to look at fellowship scripturally defined and categorized for us as we look in God's Word. And Bible words should be used in Bible ways. You know, I think that a Christian should be a stickler for that. Bible words and Bible ways. Think about the concept of words determined by the Spirit, that is, the Holy Spirit, is written down for us in God's Word. Faith. You think about how man has turned the aspect of faith into a meaningless nothingness. It's just an innate action within one's mind that has nothing to do with anything else. Something that cannot be grasped or held on to, something that is not substantive, but rather just this thought, this ascent of mind that comes about, and really it becomes a meaningful, meaningless nothingness. That particular term is used by so many in so-called religion today. You think about what James said in James 2 and verse 20. "But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead?" And so there is that connection between faith and works that is a demonstration. Faith is demonstrated. And that's what James is talking about there in James, the second chapter. And then Jesus said, "These people draw near to me with their mouth, honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." They give lip service in connection with a faith, but not the truth faith that is from God. We see then how that word is used and taken out of context in the world today. Same thing with the word law, impugned to the point of disdain. And there are those that make claim today, preachers, that we're not under any law whatsoever, but we go back and we even look at the principle that is involved in Matthew, the 19th chapter, verse 7 through 10, we see that it doesn't matter what law it is, it comes from God. This is the aspect of that law. This is the treasure of that law that comes from God. And he says there, beginning verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Law is not a dirty word when it comes from God. Man's laws can be, but not from God. Those laws are exactly as described by David in the 19th Psalm. We see another word, church, twisted to the standpoint of physical, stand for a physical abomination. And that takes place today. Colossians 1 and verse 18, rather than using it as the scriptures use it, and he is the head, that is Jesus. Head of the body of the church is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. And you look at what man has done with church, and the preeminence is in church, and the preeminence is within people. And we go back to see the actual thought concerning that. 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, you are a chosen generation because church is the people. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Words need to be looked at in Scripture and taken the way in which they are used. And it's a defilement to use words separate and apart when it relates to that which God has given us, the Holy Spirit has given us, in the Bible, to be used in a way that becomes mundane or just from the mind of man. And that thought continues with the word fellowship. I want you to note some things concerning this particular word. Fellowship is used 8 times in the New Testament and never used in connection to physical matters. Fun, food, and fellowship you don't find in Scripture. It comes from the Greek word koinonia, which means fellowship, sharing, participation. And again, it is used 8 times, and we have it in Acts 2:42 that I mentioned this morning. And in each of the 8 occasions in which it is used, it is never about physical matters. Think about it as you look down through it. And they continued in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, Acts 2 and verse 42. You want to see the hospitality, you go down to verse 46. But social aspect is not mentioned, verse 42. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 9, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, not about a social gathering. 2 Corinthians 6:14, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. What partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? What fellowship has light with darkness? Again, it's not anything that is physical. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 14, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Again, that which is spiritual in nature. Galatians 2 and verse 9, James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given to me. They gave me the right hand of fellowship. That's Christian to Christian. About the work that they were to perform, that is that spiritual work of teaching the gospel. 1 John 1 and verse 3, from our reading this morning, also verses 6 and 7, that which we have seen and heard and proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. A contingency there we'll talk about a little bit later, an aspect of that contingency, a fellowship that it is determined by God and is set upon principles. We see in verse 6, if we say we have fellowship with him, while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. We see again a contingency of fellowship. It is a recognition of one's need. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And that's not fellowship between man. That is fellowship of man with God in this particular verse. Verse 3 has fellowship man to man in it, but not verse 7. There we have the 8 times in which it is used. And again, never in connection with physical matters, never in connection of a setting that is social, nothing to do with that which is mundane, but that rather which is spiritual. There's another word that is used also, and that's the word share. It's used 27 times in the New Testament, 2 times used in connection to physical matters, but in obedience to spiritual commands. I'm not going to read all of them. I'll show you the 2. First of all, Ephesians 4 and verse 28, let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone's need. There you have not a church effort, but an individual effort. And not only that, it still goes back to that which is spiritual, which is based upon the royal law, the second aspect of the royal law, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. We also see it again when we look in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 18. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, speaking of those that are wealthy, to be generous and ready to share individual effort. Again, it goes back to that individual effort and not the work of the church. And we see that, as we said, as I said, 27 times in the New Testament, all other times, it is in connection with that which is spiritual. And then we see the word partnership. It is used three times in the New Testament, always in connection with spiritual matters. Metoke is the word partnership, sometimes translated fellowship, but we see it here in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 14. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? And it goes back to the right standing that we are to have with God. Connection with that. We see in Philippians 1 and verse 5, because your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, he's talking to those that had supported him physically in connection with his spiritual work. And they shared with him in that. Philippians 4 and verse 15, you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. And again, physical support for the spiritual outcome of the work that Paul was engaged in. We have these words that are used for us here where sometimes they're mixed and mashed in connection with not only that which is spiritual, but that which is physical, that which is mundane, that which really applies to hospitality, and not about fellowship, which is in that spiritual aspect by which it is presented in Scripture. I want you to think, fellowship is never used in connection with Christians and unbelievers. There's never a passage that tells us, be in fellowship with those that don't believe in the Lord. Be in fellowship with those that do not obey the word of God. Be in fellowship with those that rebel. Be in fellowship with those that reject. We don't find that in Scripture. And to use fellowship in any other way is not accurate. It's not only not accurate, it's unscriptural. And it goes back to 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. And the honor that we should have in recognizing that we are a special people of God, separate and apart from sinners, separate and apart from those that deny the Lord, deny His word, deny the power of salvation, deny His blood, and deny His authority. Christian with non-Christians, never presented as fellowship. Hospitality, yes. We see that. We see it in 1 Corinthians 8 chapter. We also see it in 1 Corinthians the 10th chapter. Somebody invites you to their house and as unbeliever, go and they set food before you. Ask nothing. Eat what is set before you. There you have that hospitality with those that are unbelievers. But it's not fellowship. Fellowship is in the spiritual sense. Think about this, that triangle concept of fellowship. God with man with God. And we see this, of course, in 1 John 1, verses 5 through 7. This is the message that we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, that is man with God, not man with man in this verse, because of verse 6. We have fellowship with Him, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. You understand that here we have the prerequisite of fellowship, that fellowship must be attained, acquired by one having fellowship with God. And if that's not there, then we don't get to the second point, and that is the completion of that triangle that is mentioned in 1 John 1 and verse 3. And that is, we can't have fellowship with those that are not in fellowship with God. that which we have seen and heard we declare to you, that you may also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Fellowship cannot exist unless, first of all, there is that fellowship with God. Fellowship cannot exist man to man, human to human, unless they are in fellowship to God. That completes the triangle. And that's not the mind of man. That's the teaching from God. That's the teaching from God. Think about this. Fellowship is not to be extended lightly. And we look back at what is stated in 1 Timothy 5, verse 21 and 22. I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and to the elect angels that you observe these things without prejudice, doing nothing with partiality. There's your word there, Wayman. Do not lay hands on anyone hastily, nor share in other people's sins. Keep yourself pure. He's not talking about laying on of hands here and passing on miraculous gifts because Timothy did not have that ability. He was not an apostle. He's talking here about approval. You don't give approval to anyone immediately. You think about this in connection with what happened with Saul of Tarsus after his conversion. And after he fled from Damascus for his life and went to Jerusalem, he looked to place membership in the congregation there at Jerusalem. They were afraid of him. They would have nothing to do with him. Do you see anywhere in that section of Scripture in Acts the 9th chapter where that congregation in Jerusalem was chided by God for not accepting him readily? No. Why not? Well, he had a reputation. And except it be for Barnabas, they gave him a good commendation, he probably would not have been accepted. And it ties in with what is being presented here, that we just don't throw fellowship around as children of God. Why? Because it's God determined, not man determined. And we see that aspect here. Those that are in the world and among us that are wolves, we cannot extend the right hand of fellowship to. We see the admonition that is given by Paul. And I'll tell you that just the words that he uses in connection with this, and I'll show you in just a second, should be so impactful upon each and every one of us to recognize the danger that is out there. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. He's talking to the elders at Ephesus. And he says, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood, for I know this. It's not a maybe. It's not a might. But he says, I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember that for three years, I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. Paul, we're so glad that you left Ephesus. Boy, after 3 years of listening to this, we're tired of you telling us this. It didn't matter what their attitude was in connection with it. Paul knew what was coming. Did it come true? Revelation, the second chapter, beginning verse 1. Talking to Ephesus, Christ Jesus himself. I know your works and your labor. I know the things that you have done, but I have this against you. You have left your first love. Did it come true, what Paul was warning them of? Yes, it did. To the standpoint that they had left the love of Christ in their worship unto him, not just the public worship, but the true spirituality that was among them. They left it. They lost it. Why? Because they'd been turned aside after the grievous wolves, the savage wolves, as it says in the New King James Version. Is it a message that we need to remind ourselves of? From now? Paul preached on it for 3 years. Is it something that is out of date now? Well, that happened back then 2,000 years ago. That's not that way anymore today. It is going to be that way as long as this earth stands. And something that we need to be reminded of. 2 Peter 2, verses 1 through 3, ties in line with this because it has to do with false prophets. There were false prophets and false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who brought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. There are preachers today in buildings that have Church of Christ on the outside that says grace is all there is. And I will tell you that we cannot be saved without grace, but we need to recognize exactly what is stated by Paul in Ephesians 2 and verse 9. For by grace are you saved through the faith, that not of yourselves, it is gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Can there be faith without obedience? No. Or else it becomes a nothingness, a meaningless statement. So when we look at this, we understand that there are those that are out there that will have us follow their destructive ways, and it's among Christians today. And it ties back to the way with which we use words today. One word that is used quite often that I'm seeing more and more online in congregations is, we are involved in outreach. We'll define that. I believe that I can be involved in an outreach to those that are outside the body of Christ, but it's not the work of the church, other than teaching the gospel. You look at how the denominations use that particular word and is in connection with feeding them, entertainment, providing resources for them, such as daycare and other things, outings. Is that the outreach that the Lord has given for us as a congregation to do? No. Does that make us not as holy as they? No, I'll tell you what, it destroys the holiness of God's people as a collective. So we need to use those words in the way that they're used in Scripture. Fellowship is precious. And when we forget about that, we forget about the specialness that God has placed upon those that are His children. That's exactly what happened to Israel. You look back and you think about it. They see the progress of those round about them. Well, they serve Baal, so we'll go serve Baal. They serve Molech, so we'll go serve Molech. We see their fields, they produce, they have riches. They have a king, we want a king. We see what happens whenever the specialness of God's people is for their specialness is forgotten. We go back and we look about on this in connection with 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. In chapter 1 and verse 9. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ. We're called into fellowship by faithful, loving God. It's an invitation from the Majesty on high. It's not a right that is given to anyone. It is offered by love, an invitation that we need to recognize that fellowship is so precious because it's an invitation from the Majesty on high, from the greatest one of all, God, the one that is in heaven. We see it is not to be applied to the mundane, but to the great gift from God. It's engaged in publicly. We see that, as we mentioned in Acts 2 and verse 42, and engaged in with brethren, as we see in Philippians 2 verses 1 through 8. Paul says there, if there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy, being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Right there you have aspects of fellowship and connection with that which is spiritual that comes from God. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. And then he uses Christ Jesus as an example coming down to verse 5. We see that fellowship is to be engaged in with brethren with a certain mindset, that mindset of humility. And with whom not to be involved with. We're not to extend fellowship to those that are unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? What communion has light with darkness? 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 18, coming down to verse 15. What accord has Christ with Belial, with that which is worthless? And that is the doctrines of men and the teachings of men and the actions of men. or what part as a believer with an unbeliever, can you read fellowship into that? You read exactly the opposite, because in verse 17, God says, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. How can we ever have friends? How can we ever bring anyone to Christ without fellowship? By the teaching of God's word, then you bring them into fellowship and have fellowship with them, but not while they're in that lost condition and rebellion and rejection. Fellowship is not to be extended in that situation. And so in closing, will we be involved, each and every one of us, Sandy, will we be involved in the fellowship that is described us by God's word? Or will we just use the word the way that we want? It's okay, it really doesn't matter. Matter of fact, we can use that word in connection with that which is mundane, that which is temporal, with friendliness, hospitality. We'll just use the word fellowship as it's used and not used in Scripture. And what we'll do is we'll make people feel better. And they won't hate us, because we're extending to them fellowship. Can we do that? I'm not talking about being isolationist. We can't do that. That's the reason that just before Jesus ascended into heaven in Matthew, the 28th chapter, verse 19, he tells his apostles, go into all the world, preach the gospel to each nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He didn't say, go because they're in fellowship with me. Go because they're not in fellowship with me. Bring them into fellowship with me by baptism, and not only by baptism, but also teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. With you always, verse 20, that's fellowship. Fellowship why? Teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. We need to use Bible words and Bible ways. Because if we don't, well, then we have those thoughts then that come about that are of the world, that have that good sound to it, that offers that to people which God has not offered. And when we offer to people what God has not offered, we're offering a lie and not the truth. Let's use Bible words and Bible ways. Be obedient to his will, respectful of the words that he chose and the concepts in connection with them. I ask this morning, are you in fellowship with God? Are you in fellowship with him? Well, I'll just do what I think is right, what I feel is right, what makes me look good, what people won't condemn me and so forth, and I'll just do that. And so I've made down my determination. Yes, I'm in fellowship with God because of the way that I think and the way that I feel. If that is your attitude, you're not in fellowship with him. And you're deeply lost. We have fellowship with God by obedience to his will. We have love from God because of obedience. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, Jesus said. And there you have law thrown in there. Commandments, law. Well, that's a terrible thing. No, he says, if you love me, you'll keep my law, my commandments. If you're not a child of God this morning, will you become one so you can enter into fellowship with God, because you're not in fellowship with him when you're not a child of God? Then those of us that have obeyed, are we remaining in fellowship, or is our actions just, have they just become mundane? I showed up on Sunday morning. Me and God have an understanding. I pray to him, and that's how I'm going to get to heaven. We understand what Peter writes, of course. 1 Peter 2 and verse 12, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those that do not do his will, do evil. Do we make our determination on the path and the road to heaven? Or do we allow God to show us the way? Are you in fellowship with him? If there are those that we can help in any way, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.